Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches,
as well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode.
For this week's podcast, we spoke to British 1500 meter champion and Under Armour athlete, Katie Snowden. Katie has PBs of 4 flat in the 1500 and 1:58 in the 800. And we spoke to her ahead of the World Champs in Budapest. Enjoy.
Okay, Katie, first off, you just let us know you're in St Moritz. So thanks for coming on the podcast. How are you, first of all?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Yeah, as you said, got here yesterday. So yeah, putting the final few weeks together before heading to Budapest. Yeah, it's come around pretty quick, but no, very excited to do these last few weeks of training and see what can do there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair to say you're probably having the season of your life. We wanted to start with the London Diamond League on Sunday because obviously massive crowd. And how was the experience there?
Yeah, no, that was amazing, to be honest, because I was fortunate to go to 2012 and get to experience that like atmosphere. Obviously not racing, but as a spectator. But I always remember thinking like I would love to be able to go back one day and actually be there running. So I think to finally get the opportunity to do that on Sunday and just experience that crowd is something won't forget in a hurry, because it was just awesome. It's almost one of those things that you just can't explain how loud and amazing it is until you experience it.
Do you feel any more pressure like warming up and stuff, knowing you're about to go into the cauldron of the 2012 stadium?
Not really, to be honest. I don't know if it was also because it wasn't like kind of like my primary event. I think maybe it was a 1500 possibly. Feel maybe a bit more pressure. But I think going in there knowing, although it was probably maybe like one of the events of the day with, we thought maybe like Keely would obviously be running. And then, Gemma's going really well. I think I kind of felt it was a bit of a free hit, to be honest, and just something I could really enjoy and just get stuck into and see what happened.
Yeah, and talking of free hits, 1:58 for 800. I guess, have you speculated what that would mean for a 1500 right now, potentially?
Yeah, no, it's definitely exciting. It bodes well, I think, because I was kind of thinking, actually looking at the 1500 meter races that I've done so far, I was hoping like Stockholm Diamond League would be a good opportunity to run fast, and then unfortunately the conditions there that evening were terrible, and it also just ended up being a bit of a strange race, a bit more tactical than you'd normally expect at a Diamond League. I think to know that, fingers crossed, if I get a fast opportunity, hopefully can run a big PB, I think, based on that 800.
I was going to say, has it been a conscious effort not to do too many races over 1500? Because like you said, we saw you in Stockholm, but you've kept a pretty low profile since that quick, early season race you did out in the States.
Yeah, I think I was just mindful that ultimately you do want to peak in another 3-4 weeks time. And I think sometimes it's easy to kind of get excited and think you're going well and then kind of start racing loads, when actually you almost probably want to save that really big hopefully big time for when it actually matters. And I think if you could bring that out in hopefully maybe like a semi-final to make the final, I think that would be brilliant. And if I can kind of break 4 minutes in a race like that, I think that's probably the best time to do it. Whereas I was kind of just conscious, if you race too much early on, it's just a long time to kind of keep that peak form going. We'll see. Hopefully judged it well, but maybe would have regretted trying to not get in a few faster ones earlier on.
You gonna race again for Worlds, or is that it now?
That's it now. There was a K, I think, for the women in Bern next week. I think it is. A few of the guys are dropping down and doing an 800. So I kind of thought about possibly doing that. But I think with London going well and a K being a bit of a random distance, I thought, actually, I think, just going to get my head down, train these next couple of weeks. I'm sure it's going to be here before you know it. So, I think at the moment now, definitely just aim for Budapest.
I think it will. We can't wait. But look, let's rewind the tapes a little bit. Talk about how you got to this point, starting out at Herne Hill. What was it young Katie enjoyed about the sport?
I think I just enjoyed like the social side of it, to be honest, because I first joined Herne Hill when I was 12 years old. And like my best friend from school, she came down to the club with me, and we did our first session together. And yeah, I think that just kind of friendly atmosphere and yeah, the social side is what kind of drew me to it and kind of kept me, yeah, wanting to go back. And then obviously, yeah, I think I realized quite early on, almost more from like school sports days. It was just something that, yeah, I was good at. And I think when you're good at something, it's, yeah, you tend to enjoy it more as well. So yeah, I think a mix of really nice friends there, love the social bit of it, and then also yeah, thought it was something I could yeah, pursue and be good at. So yeah, that was probably the other side of it as well.
Have you managed to keep it social now? Is it still social?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, some of my friends that were at the club at the time, yeah, aren't running so much now. But to be honest, still, like, yeah, I'd say the majority of like some of my really close friends are still runners. And I always think that's really nice because, yeah, even on the circuit, you just kind of end up racing the same people and get to know them. And it's just really nice when you see like familiar faces. And yeah, I think it's a big part of it. I mean, you've got to enjoy it. And yeah, and I think the people, yeah, really help that.
When did it kind of go from being, I guess, a social activity to thinking, actually, I want to be competitive here? Because I believe I'm right in saying that you were English under 17 champion over 400 as well. So you had some good national success from an early age as well.
Yeah. To be honest, I'd say it probably wasn't till I graduated from university. Because, yeah, even when I was finishing school, I didn't actually kind of prioritize where I went to uni based on, yeah, kind of running or going to like a more sporty one, because yeah, I studied at Nottingham, yeah, which was brilliant, but again, I think that was more kind of yeah driven by like academics, and yeah, I knew that I'd have some friends there that were going from school, whereas I think had I thought that I wanted to pursue like yeah really go for the running, I probably would have gone to yeah the likes of Loughborough, or maybe like experienced, I don't know if I would have gone to American Uni or not, but at least maybe explored some of the options, which I just didn't at all. So it was only really when I graduated from Nottingham and then actually moved to Loughborough. Yeah, I was fortunate to be on funding at the time and joined Rob Denmark's group. So yeah, as she was training with Melissa and some of those girls. And I think it was only really then that I thought, actually, do you know what? This is actually something I really want to see how good I can be and like focus on it properly.
Yeah, because you were you know, you were a star, is it fair to say? You know, you did go to World Youth over 800, English schools champions and stuff, and really good over the 4 and the 8 as well. That 400 speed probably still with you now. When was it, you know, you really wanted to commit to the 1500? Because, you know, early on, you were always a 4.8 runner, really.
Yeah, so again, I think it was kind of like moving to Loughborough and joining Rob Denmark. Yeah, he kind of said, yeah, like happy to coach you, but it probably would be for the 1500. I think I literally had done about 2 sessions with him, and straight away he was like, yeah, like you can still dabble with the 8, but I think actually you've got a lot of strength and endurance that you could improve on, and that will yeah bode well for the 1500. So yeah, it was kind of almost immediately as I joined, yeah, him, he suggested it straight away. So yeah, I guess I have him to thank for kind of moving me in that direction. And I, yeah, I think also just how it's panned out with making teams at one point. I think the 800 was very competitive. I mean, it's kind of going back and forth, and now, yeah, both have really great depth. So yeah, can't really go off that. But I think there was definitely one year I thought, you know what, I'd probably actually have a greater chance of making the team at 15. So that also, yeah, led me towards that event as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you feel as an athlete when a coach says, let's put you, you know, let's try another event? You know, I know the 8 and 15 are quite similar, but did you have any attachments to the 8?
Yeah, I do have, like, I've missed racing it the last few years, I have to say. Like, I was so excited on Sunday, yeah, when I got to do it. Because, yeah, I think if I look over the last few years, I've probably done max maybe like 2 a year. And like the types of races they've been, they've either been kind of, yeah, there's not really been a pacemaker, or they've just not been particularly fast. So I think I was just really looking forward to Sunday, knowing, yeah, it was going to be a really good field. And yeah, an opportunity to get a PB, which I didn't really feel that I've had the last couple of years. But no, I think when Rob suggested it, yeah, I trusted his judgment, and yeah, I was kind of willing to try something new, because I think when I'd gone to Loughborough, I was plateauing a bit over 800. I think even if I'd stuck with it, I definitely had to improve my strength and endurance anyway, because yeah, I had the 400 speed, but that last 200, I was always, yeah, blowing up a bit. So I think either way, it kind of seemed like a good idea that, yeah, it was either going to help the 8, or I'd realize, yeah, I really enjoyed the 15 as well. And yeah, could do well at that.
I just want to touch upon kind of that time at Nottingham that you mentioned, because I think it's quite unusual for an athlete of, I guess, your junior caliber to kind of navigate university in that way and actually still manage to make a good transition to senior without being at one of these kind of athletics hubs, if you like, that most people tend to go to. What was your setup during that time?
Yeah, so when I was in Nottingham, I did just kind of all my runs by myself. There was like a local club, Notts AC. I'd sometimes go down to their club sessions on a Tuesday and Thursday. And yeah, there was a coach there who was always really helpful. He wasn't like coaching me as such, but yeah, kind of was always happy to oversee some sessions or let me join in with the club ones. And then I think towards it was second year probably, started driving over to Loughborough twice a week because I was coached by Alistair Donaldson, who was based there. And sometimes we'd link in with George Gandy's kind of big university group. Sometimes, yeah, we'd be a bit separate. But yeah, then being able to link up with the likes of Jess Judd, who was at uni there at the time. And yeah, there were some other great girls in my group as well. That was really, really good. So I guess, yeah, even though I kind of was, yeah, in Nottingham the majority of the time and sometimes solo, at least I had that option, if I wanted to. Yeah, particularly towards, yeah, kind of the end of doing my degree, I went over a bit more frequently. But yeah, to be honest, I almost think in a way though, it's why I kind of kept the enjoyment and wanted to keep going now because I wasn't too, yeah, kind of like consumed by doing it, yeah, when I was kind of transitioning from that junior to senior level. I think in a way, sometimes having a bit more of a balance and yeah, I really enjoyed my time at uni. I just had friends outside the sport as well. I think maybe that's kind of helped me yeah, kind of keep going till now.
Yeah, I think that's always important. You mentioned obviously post uni, go to Loughborough, you're on funding. At some point that funding gets cut. What's that like for you, as an athlete? I don't think we've had too many on this podcast who have been on funding and lost that funding. Talk about that transition or just that kind of toll on your life, I guess.
Yeah, that was really tough. Especially then, yeah, I ended up moving back to London. Yeah, moved back in with mum and dad. Yeah, which obviously helped save a bit on rent. And I've always been really fortunate though with Herne Hill. Whenever I was like going home from university, I always like stayed in touch with them and joined in with the club sessions. So they were always really supportive that when I was back in London, yeah, I could either still go back and jump in with the club sessions or yeah, I'd have someone at the track that would like oversee some of the sessions that I wanted to do, even if they didn't fit yeah, what the club were doing itself. So yeah, I mean, I think it is really difficult, but I think just yeah, I was so determined to still yeah, achieve what I wanted to. I just tried to not let it yeah, kind of put me off still going for those goals. And I think I just hoped, yeah, eventually if I could get back running consistently, then yeah, I would hopefully get put back on again. Because no, I mean the support's massive, it's so helpful when you do have it. But I think I was just careful, at least yeah, when I was younger, that I didn't completely rely on it. Yeah, I always kind of had other things on the side. I worked a bit part-time. So that helped as well.
Do you think it just kind of delayed your success to where you are now? Do you think you just kind of had a 2 or 3 year period where you had to, yeah, guy, I guess, like find a source of income? Now you're sponsored, you know what I mean? And just kind of reset almost.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it was also tricky that I was injured as well during that time. I guess the frustrating thing is you tend to come off when, yeah, obviously you haven't performed, and if it's due to an injury, that's kind of when you want the support, and then it's suddenly gone. So I think that was probably the trickiest thing about it. But at the same time, yeah, I guess it wasn't their fault that I was injured. So it's hard
No.
to know whether even if I had been funded during that period and I'd still been injured, maybe I couldn't have done a lot anyway. But no, it was tricky when the two coincided with each other, and then you're suddenly, yeah, left to your own devices to try and get yourself back on track.
What were you sort of doing during that time? You mentioned kind of working part-time and things like that. How long were you doing that for before I guess you got was it your Under Armour contract that you then got that kind of enabled you to kind of go full-time again?
Yeah, so yeah, I was working for a company called Appear Here. And I actually got into it just because yeah, my sister worked there, and yeah, she'd kind of said, look, they need some more help if yeah, you're yeah, looking to do something else whilst yeah, you're trying, because yeah, I basically had ruptured my plantar and was told I'd been out for yeah, a long time. So yeah, I knew I had to do something else in the meantime. So yeah, that was kind of a good distraction. And it just kind of gave me that structure in the day that I wasn't just yeah, going backwards and forwards from the pool and cross training. So yeah, I did that for the whole summer of gosh, it would have been 2019. And then obviously COVID happened. So yeah, everything kind of shut down a bit. And was, yeah, meantime then just trying to get back. But in a way, I guess for me, that was a bit of a blessing in disguise as it just gave me that time that I probably needed. Because had Tokyo been that year, yeah, definitely wouldn't have made it. Because yeah, I don't think I raced at all the summer of 2019. And then obviously, yeah, there wasn't much opportunity anyway in 2020. So yeah, I think personally, actually, that gave me that extra time that I did need. But no, yeah, very glad that I kind of just got stuck into something totally different working at Appear Here, because otherwise, yeah, probably would have gone a little bit stir crazy. Just trying to, yeah, cross train and sort out this injury.
And you're someone who, you know, during that period as well, but even when you were getting back, even when you went to Tokyo Olympic Games, we'll talk about that a little bit more, but you were kind of, you were like always there, but you couldn't quite break into that kind of elite level, if you like, that really kind of top level. You obviously have now. How's that as an athlete? You're kind of every year, you're just like, oh, I'm just falling short of perhaps where I want to be. Did you ever question it? Did you ever sort of think, goodness me, am I ever going to make it, you know, to the highest level?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I think it's tough when, yeah, you kind of keep trying and you keep just missing out a little bit. Yeah, as you said, I kind of felt I was one of those people that's kind of always there or thereabouts, but just never quite made that next jump. But I think in part, I knew that I'd had a disrupted few years. And I think one of the biggest things about, yeah, getting results in this sport is consistency. And I knew I hadn't had that. So I think I was just hoping at some point I'd get that period where, yeah, I didn't have any setbacks or interruptions. Because even last year, although I made all three champs, yeah, my run up into them was, yeah, really poor. So even though on paper it probably didn't look that great, at least that actually gave me quite a bit of confidence, because the fact I was like, well, I've still qualified, I've, yeah, made semi-finals, finals. Yeah, I think by Munich I'd, yeah, kind of got going a bit and managed to come, I think I was fourth there. So I think actually that gave me the motivation going into this winter, where I was thinking, do you know what, actually, if I can just try and keep like niggles at bay, get some consistency, then I was kind of, yeah, hoping that this summer would be a bit of a breakthrough.
And is that niggles related to the original plans, or are you just having different bits and bobs as you kind of go through?
Yeah, it was more just, yeah, different ones, to be honest. It was mainly a knee injury that I'd actually had back in 2018 that just seemed to come back. So that set me back most of, the winter of 2022, it would have been. Oh, no, sorry, 2021. Because, yeah, I didn't have an indoor season 2022. And then just about got going again. But then it came back again. I think it was, yeah, June. So just before the World Champs last year. Then I got COVID, so I didn't even do British Champs. And it was just all really messy. So yeah, no, that was really tough, but touch wood, yeah, so far I've barely had any interruptions since, gosh, yeah, like the start of last winter. I've had a couple of illnesses, but yeah, that's been it. And I think that's really what's made the difference, rather than changing anything, yeah, with training or, anything like that. It's literally just banking, yeah, kind of weeks, months, without any setbacks.
And you have, just remind everyone, what is Katie Snowden's setup? Because I know you're kind of, you've always been someone who's a little bit here, there and everywhere. But have you fully committed to Flagstaff? Is that your base now? Obviously, you're obviously still going to come back to London and whatnot, but have you fully committed to the Under Armour group out there?
I have. So yeah, I'm part of Mission Run Dark Sky. Which has been brilliant, to be honest. I think it's just given me that kind of support and setup that, yeah, I was perhaps missing. Because as you said, I was kind of one of those people that would float around a little bit. And not really kind of just commit to something. So yeah, the fact that, yeah, finally did. And I've had the backing of Under Armour. I think that's also been like a massive, reason why I feel like this summer's gone really smoothly so far. It just means when you're in Flagstaff, you've got that support with like treatment, yeah, people there to time sessions, you've got training partners, obviously brilliant that it's based in Flagstaff, and you've got altitude, so it's just kind of all those little things I think coming together that before I'd kind of like dipped into, but yeah, as you said, not kind of fully committed. I'm really grateful for all their help and the team that I've got around me.
As an athlete then, what holds you back from committing somewhere, you know, what, you know, through those years previously, what kind of hold you back from going, yep, I want this to be my setup, this to be my base, them to be my coach?
Yeah, I think I was always a bit reluctant. I think when I was in Loughborough, what I struggled with towards the end was just not having too much outside going on. And I just, by the end, was getting a little bit bored. I think I'm someone that just doesn't like to be kind of fully just focused on training and, yeah, not really have a bit of a balance. So that's kind of why I moved away from there. Training wise, it was brilliant, but I just kind of wanted a bit more going on outside of running. So then I went back to London, and then I think when you're kind of home and you've got your friends there, it's easy to get, yeah, a little bit stuck and kind of, I guess, just comfortable in a setup, which, although I then kind of, yeah, resolved that bit of it, I then, from a training point of view, wasn't as focused as I probably could have been. And yeah, because then London's obviously great for some things, but it's quite a distracting place at the same time. So then ended up obviously committing to Under Armour eventually, which I think I'd just been reluctant with, yeah, feeling like I had to be in the, based in the States quite a lot. I'm a bit of a home bird, so I wasn't sure if I'd enjoy that or not. But I mean, yeah, now I've done it, it's, yeah, the best thing I did. And yeah, I absolutely love kind of, yeah, traveling around, having the team. It's been really great.
How many months of the year will you have to be based out there? Is that like in the contract, or it's just what suits you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of just what suits you and what's best for training. There's no kind of set amount of time or, yeah, kind of like specific dates you must be there. But yeah, I tend to aim for like kind of 3 6-week-ish stints throughout the year. So yeah, kind of go out straight after New Year. Yeah, do a bit of a stint before the indoor season. And then obviously like, we're always going to have to come back and race our champs. And then, so yeah, I normally do that stint, then go back out again for a spring camp. Which I always really enjoy because it's such a popular time of year for like other British athletes to be out there and groups. So that's always great. And then, yeah, kind of pre-Christmas, yeah, maybe kind of end of October time. Yeah, do a camp then as well. So yeah, it's normally about 3 times a year. But at the moment, yeah, we've got the whole group over in St. Moritz as well. So in the summer when you're racing the European circuit, yeah, obviously probably this time of year it would not be the best to be in Flagstaff. So no, it's great that we've got all the Under Armour group here now as well.
Yeah, and talk about some of those athletes, because you guys are flying right now. Obviously, you mentioned you're staying with Neil and Melissa as well in the Samurai. So who else are you kind of training with?
Yes, and obviously Neil's having a brilliant season. Yeah, no, he's done really, really great. But yeah, in terms of the group, yeah, Wayne Clarty, she's a really strong 5-10K runner. Yeah, obviously Sharon's not actually here because she's focusing on a marathon build-up. But when I was in Flagstaff, yeah, in the spring I was doing a lot of like my long runs with her because I think they both really helped me with the strength side of it. And then you've got Adva and Regan, two steeplechasers, and again we kind of overlap and can help each other because I think we've all got different strengths and weaknesses, so that's been really great. But no, as you said, it's a British Athletics camp here at the minute, so you've also got the likes of Millie, Jess Jard, yeah, those girls around to run with as well. So yeah, no, it's just great having so much company.
And so end of this year, like I said, 4th at Munich, you sit down with your coaches. What's the goal for 2023?
Definitely it was Budapest. So yeah, glad you officially selected for that. Was it 2 weekends ago? Yeah, to be honest, British champ, I would have loved to have been, but I would have always probably thought if Laura was there, that was going to be a very tough one. So that was a real kind of like, yeah, bonus surprise. But no, I think also making world champs, it really is to probably try and make the final, because I feel like I've kind of, yeah, Tokyo made the semis, world last year made the semis, but yeah, I really think hopefully this is the year I can go one step further and we'll have more than just Laura in the final.
Let's chat about that British champs race, because I think it's fair to say that it was a bit of an upset to a lot of people. But like, what was your kind of mentality going into, like, how do you approach a race like going up against someone like Laura Muir, who I believe she was unbeaten for a ridiculous amount of years at British champs prior to kind of this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just really confident that my training had gone really smoothly, which, yeah, I mean, last year I didn't even go to the champs because I had COVID. But I think even previous years, I was always going in knowing I'd had some kind of niggle or setback. And I think it's hard when then you know you're up against, yeah, the likes of someone like Laura, and you just haven't had that like consistent training. Whereas this year, I think just psychologically, I went in and like really confident. Yeah, I'd been in St. Moritz actually again prior to the champs and dropped down a couple of days before. And that's normally worked well when I've raced off Flagstaff and come down from altitude. So again, that was kind of another thing that, yeah, I was really positive that, yeah, it had potential to go really well. And I think also just reading the races a bit better now and kind of predicting a bit better, like how they might pan out and just, yeah, adjusting your positioning. And yeah, I think just kind of visualizing how it could be run. Whereas I think in the past, sometimes I've kind of just gone in and almost not really even had a race plan or thought about what might happen. And then it's quite easy to get a bit caught out. Whereas, yeah, I think this year I kind of was expecting the move to be made roughly around then and just could actually cover it. Whereas, yeah, previous years I've just not been in the right place to even try to go with it.
Yeah, it was fascinating. You kind of, she gapped you originally, and then you obviously close up, and then the whole last lap, you kind of, the whole last 200 or so, you're on her shoulder. Was there a bit of you which you know, still doubted whether you could beat Muir in that last 100 or so?
A little bit. It was definitely when she kind of made the move, I was like, how hard do you go to yeah, kind of really go with it? Because obviously I knew the likes of like Melissa and Ellie would be right behind me. So yeah, I was just wary to go too hard too soon. But I think almost, yeah, the kind of less time there was to go, I was just getting like more and more confident when I still felt, yeah, pretty strong. And then, yeah, kind of literally 150 to go. I wasn't sure whether she had another gear or not. But yeah, I feel like I just kind of bided my time. And yeah, down the home straight, just felt better and better, which was, yeah, a nice surprise.
I think that's what was so good to see, kind of from like I guess a spectator's perspective, was the confidence to go with it. Because I think it would have been, I mean, anyone would have blamed you for, I guess, just racing for second and making sure that you secure your spot for the world champs, because we see athletes do that all the time. But I think it was just great to see the confidence to go with it, and then I guess, yeah, showed it paid off as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because yeah, it had crossed my mind slightly before. I was like, you just run for second and try and guarantee that second spot. But I think actually, yeah, when you know you're training well, like, why not just give it a go? I think I'd have regretted more had I not, yeah, tried to cover it and then actually felt quite strong and thought, oh, what if I'd just gone a bit earlier and tried to yeah, really cover the move. So no, yeah, very glad I did.
And I guess watching, you know, Muir and stuff previously, seeing she, you know, you were close to her last year, Europeans, obviously she'd been getting beat. That give you confidence going in as well.
I guess a little bit, but I think always it's more just better to kind of like focus on yourself a bit. And if you feel you're progressing and you've been consistent, yeah, as opposed to I guess looking at yeah their results and yeah how they may be going. So I think yeah it was more I just went into it, yeah, thinking like personally I felt my training had moved on and yeah I just had a really good block. So I think yeah it was kind of more that as opposed to yeah kind of wondering how yeah the others might run it and like yeah what shape they might be in.
Yeah, and one thing we just wanted to touch upon this year, obviously you're kind of in a position where you got the standard and things like that, you're able to go to the world champs, and we won't ask you to, I guess, like kind of go into what you think about the standards and things, because it's I guess difficult for an athlete in your position. But are these things you kind of think about when looking at your competitors, like who has the time, with the standards being a bit quicker and stuff, you don't have to worry about as many women on the start line?
I guess a little bit, although I do feel every year you just there's always a surprise or someone makes a big leap forward. And I think particularly at the moment with the depth we've got in the middle distance, yeah, you've kind of always got to expect now that when you get to British champs, there's going to be at least yeah at least three, if not four or five now. Because I mean, yeah, me and Neil were actually talking about it earlier, like the amount of guys and girls that could have the standard yeah for British champs next year lining up for both 8 and 15, it's definitely going to be more than three in each event. So yeah, I mean, it's really tough, but I do think it's helping move everyone on because yeah, the bar keeps being raised. So yeah, no, I think it's only a positive thing, but I think you can just never be complacent and think, oh, I've kind of ticked off the standard early. That's kind of me done. I think you've just got to be yeah aware that there's probably yeah three or four people that come for a chance they're going to have it as well.
Well, I think this is the when these windows are so long, you know, they're just over a year or so, aren't they? You know, people have all the, you know, the back end of this season to attack that qualifying mark and next year as well, and indoors and whatnot.
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah, by the time the trials comes around, there will be five or six people with that standard.
Yeah, for sure. Because yeah, me and Neil were saying even earlier, it's mad that British champs this year, especially in the men's 15, was so competitive, and that's without the likes of like Jake Whiteman on the start line, Jake Hayward. So yeah, it's just crazy the depth of what we've got. But no, as I said, I do think it's generally a really positive thing because yeah, you're all forced to yeah, try and really bring out your best and yeah, kind of just keep improving. Otherwise, yeah, those teams are getting harder and harder to make.
But what about you, someone who went to kind of commies, Europeans and stuff like that, when you were unsponsored, would it have been hard to continue given the way the selection policies are right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely for kind of yeah, the more like up and coming athletes that are a few years younger, I think it's really, really tough. Yeah, especially with how quick the qualifying times have got. So no, I do think that is really difficult. I just think the problem they've got is yeah, when you've kind of got the yeah, slightly older, more experienced ones actually still running the times, I guess it's hard to then say to them the times are too quick when people are getting them. So I guess it's just yeah, it is really hard for the younger ones. I don't really know how I'd feel if I was trying to kind of break through now, knowing that yeah, I had a few seniors ahead of me, and yeah, that time is just so tough. Yeah, when you're young. So I think it's more like you just got to try and yeah, keep enjoying it and just know that the time will come that yeah, at some point we're not gonna still be running. And yeah, those spots are all gonna open up. So yeah, no, I think it's just it's very, very tough. But I think you've just got to kind of hang on in there and know at some point like your time's gonna come.
Is that what you did for those 3 years? Like, what was it that kind of kept you motivated? Was there points where you kind of wavered and thought, oh, actually, maybe I'll kind of give it a miss now? That's one injury too many. Or was it always just a case of actually, I really believe that one day, if I just keep chipping away, it's going to happen?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I think half of me was always like, I felt like I couldn't give up because I just felt like I hadn't achieved my potential. And I think I'd just always be thinking, oh, what if I just tried like one more time? But I think also at the same time, just taking a bit of a step back in those couple of years when, yeah, I was getting injured, I didn't have funding, so there was no kind of pressure as such to actually keep, cross training and trying to get back if I didn't want to. I think that actually helped just kind of like freshen up a bit and just kind of renew that motivation to want to, try and make the team. So, yeah, I think a bit of me definitely wouldn't have ever completely stopped because, yeah, I just think, yeah, it would have been a bit of a waste to never know what I could have gone on to do. But I think at the same time, not kind of, yeah, being like, oh, I must make a team and I must do this. And just doing something a bit different for a while and just, yeah, not being as focused on it. I think that actually really helped as well.
Yeah, good point. And now you're up in St. Moritz, mate, and you're preparing for Worlds. Just tell us, you know, briefly, what does training look like? And I think this is a period a lot of people struggle with, that 3 weeks before probably the biggest race of their career, biggest race of their season. What will you do, which is different to kind of, you know, regular training, regular season stuff?
Yeah, to be honest, like not too much different. I think in a way it's actually quite nice being here because although it kind of is the holding camp as such, it actually just feels like another training camp. And yeah, just trying to not, I get like get too fixated on what's to come in 3 weeks. But no, I think definitely, yeah, the sessions will become a bit shorter and sharper. Yeah, do more like kind of specific track ones and probably go down to Chiavenna. Yeah, and do a few at sea level so you can really get the quality. But other than that, when it's just, yeah, kind of ticking over and not actually changing too much because, yeah, touch wood, it's all been going well. So yeah, don't want to suddenly do things, yeah, really differently just as it's getting closer.
I was going to say as well, is it hard, you know, not to overanalyze this time of year?
I think a little bit, but I think, yeah, being here actually really helps because, yeah, I do just think it kind of takes your mind slightly off it, whereas I think if I was at home by myself or maybe going to the, there's a sea level camp in Slovakia, I think it is. Right. I think that would maybe feel a bit more kind of like a official, holding camp pre-champs. Whereas I think actually being up in St. Moritz, there's so many people there. It's very relaxed. It's been great sharing with Millie and Neil. I think everyone's just quite relaxed and just kind of excited for, what could happen there. But yeah, not becoming too fixated on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. You seem to think that it's, that your experience is quite relaxed in some of those environments, because I could imagine that for some others it might become even more pressurized being around other elites and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's kind of how you choose to approach it, but I think kind of being with Neil, he's obviously a really good teammate and spent lots of time together in Flagstaff and doing the same training, and then Millie, used to train with her in Loughborough, and we've done so many like camps together over the years. That I guess it's just that kind of, I almost see it as it's just quite familiar and like that's quite nice. Personally I really enjoy it, but I can see maybe from someone else's point of view, maybe sharing with someone in the same event they wouldn't want to do that. But I think me and Millie respect each other and have shared together so many times before that we're pretty happy with the current setup.
That is a pretty fast house you're currently in.
They're both running so well. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Mate, who does the cooking?
So we're actually rotating. Neil's on cooking duty tonight because he's got a rest day. But yeah, I think it's on me and Millie tomorrow.
Nice, mate. I suspect if it's Neil, it'll be like on the grill, mate. He loves a grill, doesn't he?
He does, but he's also a very good cook. I've been lucky in Flagstaff to have some of his meals. And I have to say he's very, very good. So yeah, we're expecting big things tonight.
Good.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, we obviously wish you best of luck for the World Champs this year, but obviously I can't believe it's already kind of coming up to the next Olympics.
I know.
On that kind of three-year loop that we've got now. Having been to Tokyo, is it almost like you can almost now focus on not just trying to get to the Olympics and actually look at how you're going to get there and try and compete next year?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think also, although I felt really fortunate to go to Tokyo, not getting that full Olympic experience. Obviously with there not being any spectators there. I think that's also like a big motivator to still really want to get to Paris. But I think at the same time, as you said, kind of be confident that you managed to, get to one before. Hopefully, Budapest will be even more championship experience that I can take into next year. That I think, definitely kind of have to start thinking about how am I actually going to do well when I get there, as opposed to trying to just think, oh, I just really want to make the team. I think just got to be confident. I can definitely do that. And it's, how I can get the best out of myself when I'm actually there.
And then put into context for us, an athlete like Faith Kipyegon, we have to mention her when we're talking to a 1500 runner. you as a competitor in that event, you're watching her run. What the hell are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. I was watching Monaco, and I just it's just mad that the like talent behind her is so great, but the margin that she won by, that was something quite special. So yeah, I mean I guess it's super super inspiring, but I just don't know how it must feel for her lining up against everyone else, knowing that she's just that much further ahead in time. I just find it quite extraordinary that you've got someone that far ahead, I guess, because like on the men's side obviously you've got Jakob, who's very dominant, but the kind of time margins aren't that great. So I guess it would just be interesting in Budapest how she kind of tackles the rounds, how she races the final, knowing that she's what, at least 8 seconds, is it? Or no, maybe not quite eight, but a good 5 or so seconds quicker than the rest of the field. But no, it's amazing. It's really inspiring. And I think how the girls have celebrated their world record, it shows everyone really respects her. And she's just phenomenal.
Does it put it like, does it give you more encouragement if she's running 3:49 and crazy, 4:07 miles? Do you then think, well, 3:55 perhaps is actually doable? Whereas I feel like that used to be a time which was like, way out there. I know we had a few people run at Muir and stuff, but for the
Yeah, no,
rest of everyone
definitely.
else.
Yeah, no, I think she's definitely making everyone else feel that, things are doable that you perhaps maybe thought they weren't originally. Because, I mean, if someone had said, oh, a woman will run a 4 or 7 mile in the past, I'd been like, no, that's crazy. That would never happen. Whereas I feel like now she's kind of breaking down those barriers and she's actually, running all these times. I think definitely we'll start to see, although, obviously, quite a bit way behind still, the times behind her will keep catching up. Because I think people, will change their perspective of those times and start to think, well, actually, if she's running those, then actually, we can run, 3:55. It's not as kind of crazy fast that maybe in previous years I would have thought it as.
Have you ever spoke to
I have a bit, and she's so nice.
her?
And I think it says a lot when everyone has been celebrating her results so much, like all the pictures at the end of all three of her world records. I think like everyone kind of congratulating her. And just being generally really happy. I think it says how much everyone respects her as an athlete.
And we've almost seen from her, and you mentioned Jakob as well on the men's side, it's almost been a change in the way that 1500s are run across the world. Are you expecting kind of quick races throughout all the rounds in Budapest?
Yeah, for sure. I think particularly like the semis, I'm sure you're probably going to need sub 4 now to make a final. I guess the only thing, mainly like we were chatting about this yesterday, that I still think it is slightly different when Jakob's got, say, like pacemakers in the Diamond League, that he's not obviously going to have at champs. And I think it will be harder, obviously, for him to front run the sorts of times that he has been running. And I think it will actually bring more people into play if he's having to literally lead from the gun. So I don't actually think on the men's side it's going to be as kind of clear cut as, potentially some people might think, having watched, the results of the Diamond League. Whereas, I think on the women's side, I mean, Faith is a very, very strong favourite, and I think it's all just going to be run pretty hard. But no, it's exciting. I hope it's going to be an opportunity for, a lot of girls to run fast.
Fingers crossed, we could well have three Brits in the final.
I really hope so. I think we definitely can.
Right, look, Katie, just before we finish then, you obviously you mentioned you're sponsored by Under Armour, probably a company that has advanced their shoes massively in the past kind of even just 2 years or so. And you're wearing kind of some of the new prototypes, obviously, like Neil, you mentioned, has been wearing as well, running super fast times as well. Can you talk through kind of your shoe rotation and what you're training at the moment?
So actually the moment the spike that I'm wearing is like the new prototype. But I absolutely love it. It's just kind of really bouncy, responsive. And hopefully me and Neil's PB show that it has to be pretty fast. But otherwise they've got the new Flow Velocity Elite as well, which I do most of my sessions in. So that's like their latest flat that again, really, really good shoe. But day-to-day runs just tend to wear the Sonics. They're probably my favorite, just like a mileage shoe. So they're probably kind of like my top three that I would train and race in. But no, I'm excited for when the spike's available. For others to try, because it's great. And I used to race in the Dragonfly, but generally feel like Under Armour have really closed the gap on other brands. And they've got a shoe that's incredibly competitive with the other brands now.
Took a while to design, didn't it? That spike.
No, it definitely did, but was worth the wait, because no, we're all loving it. So no, it's really exciting that you feel like you can actually line up now and be on a level playing field, with the kind of competitive brands.
Brilliant. Right. Well, thanks for coming on the pod, and we wish you all the best for Budapest.
Oh, thanks so much.
Cheers, Katie.